You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
It's baptism. It's baptism Sunday. Baptism week here at Eternity Church. Ed and Pat, I love you guys. It rocks my world to see you back here. God bless you. I love you. Never forgotten. You're amazing. We love you. Jesus loves you. So good to see you. Sorry, you know, when people have been away for a little while, you miss them and you see them there and your heart goes, hey, love those guys. So just put up with that for a second. Sorry. Love you. Good to see you. It's baptism weekend and I love baptisms at Eternity Church. And at Eternity, we just need you to know something. You don't have to have done a class to get baptized here at Eternity Church. So if you're here and it's your first time ever attending our church, we want you to know you can be baptized today. And we'll get on to that a bit more in a minute. When I preach on baptisms, I often start talking in Acts chapter 8, talking about baptisms. And I'm not going to spend the whole time there today, but I just want to spend a moment there setting that up before we go to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And the reason that we often talk about Acts chapter 8 is because that's the sort of foundation scripture we use that's really set up the reasons of why and how we do our baptisms. It's kind of why we don't do classes and why we will let anyone get baptized at any time who just says they love Jesus. And so I want to spend a moment there just setting that up for you. It's a story about a man named Philip. He was a man of God, and he overheard an Ethiopian eunuch reading the scriptures. If you're like, what's a eunuch? Don't Google it. Just ask a friend, all right? You don't want to go Googling that kind of thing. Just ask a friend, and they'll tell you what a eunuch is. And if they don't know, just know it's different, all right? It's different, okay? And so there's this different dude, and he's reading the scriptures, and the man of God, Philip, he goes over there, starts loitering by this guy's chariot, just leaning on it, sort of stalking this guy a little bit. You know, the man of God, the stalker of God, basically. He's just chilling out by this guy's chariot. And then after a little while, he interjects himself into the situation and into the story and begins to ask the man, the eunuch, if he would like help understanding basically the goodness of God and what all this means about God. I want to tell you, church, right now, as a believer who carries the answers to questions that people aren't even asking yet, that we need to sometimes have faith like Philip and just put ourselves in their story. When you're at a checkout and somebody says, my day sucks, like that happens, doesn't it? I don't know if that just happens to me, but you're at a checkout and you're saying, how are you? And they go, been better. And you're like, wow, it's kind of hoping for a, that's good, here's your groceries. But they bust out a, it sucks right now. You know, that's an opportunity for a believer to interject themselves into somebody's story and bring hope and bring life and bring blessing and bring joy. Come on now. As a believer, we need to be like Philip and channel our inner interrupter, amen, and just put ourselves in the situation. And so they chat for a while. And they talk about Jesus, and they talk about salvation. And obviously, at some point, Philip has mentioned baptism because all of a sudden, the eunuch sees a body of water and says, yo, Philip, there's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized now? Just right there. Boom, there's some water. I want to get baptized. Philip responds and says, sure thing, let's do that right now. It's a great story because you got to understand, there was no time for the eunuch to prove himself. There was no time for the eunuch to prove himself worthy of baptism, to change his life, to right his wrongs. There was no time for a 12-week course in what baptism means and to get the 15, 16, 20 fundamental steps of Christianity, to understand them and memorize them. There was no time. It was just, he told him about Jesus. There's a cattle trough coated in bedliner sitting in a room. Why shouldn't I get baptized right now? That's how the story went. So as I preach for the next 20 minutes, I need you to know, if you're new here today, or if you're in this room and your life isn't perfect, I want you to know you can be baptized today. You don't have to have changed every bad thing or any bad thing about yourself. You don't have to have righted all your wrongs or any of your wrongs. And you most certainly don't have to dress like me, talk like me, act like me, or any of our staff here at Eternity Church to be baptized. You be you, I'll be me, and together we'll tell the world that Jesus lives in you. Amen. That's what we're going to do today. That's what's going to happen here at Eternity Church. So if you didn't come here prepared to get baptized, but in the middle of my sermon, God speaks to your heart and you begin to notice yourself wanting to be baptized, I want to tell you, I don't care what you did last night, what you did when you woke up, you can be baptized today in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's dive right in and pray. Would you close your eyes? And if you want to receive something from God today, or if you want somebody to receive something, would you reach your hands out in faith as we pray? God, we thank you that you literally made salvation easy for us by making it hard on you. Thank you that you made friendship with God possible in our lives. And pray today that as I preach, any person who has not been baptized as an adult by making a personal choice to follow you, that they would be inspired and reminded of why this is so important. Give them the courage, give them the boldness, and help them reach out and take hold of the wonder and the joy of baptism in their lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read from 2 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And Kings is in the Old Testament. That's the portion of the Bible before Jesus, okay? If you're not familiar with what that means, Old Testament, New Testament, the Old Testament, also known as the Old Covenant or the Old Agreement, the old way of doing things, that's before Jesus came to earth. And then there's the New Covenant, the new way of doing things after Jesus came to earth. So 2 Kings is in the Old Testament, and often you'll find in the Old Testament these stories in there that are kind of symbolic of things that will happen later on. There's one thing called a type of Christ. We did a sermon series a couple of years ago called Old School Jesus. And that was all about finding pictures or prophecies or stories of Jesus in the Old Testament. What that means is there were stories in the Old Testament that showed us what the character of Jesus would be like in the New Testament, okay? And just the same as that, there's pictures of baptism in the Old Testament. It's not baptism, but it's a picture of what baptism will mean in the New Testament or in our lives now that Jesus has come. This is one of those stories in 2 Kings. Are you ready? Now, Naaman, thanks, Pastor Jed. Is everyone else ready? Good. Good. Pastor Jed is always the first one ready to roll, and I'm thankful for you, Pastor Jed. Now, Naaman was commander of the armies of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young woman from Israel, and she served as Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send with you a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took for the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send somebody to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a fight with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king had torn his robes, he sent him a message saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman, with his horses and chariots, stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought surely he would come out to me, call upon the name of the Lord, wave his hand over me and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers and waters in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned off and went off in a rage. Who's grateful that even when we have pride, God will still have his way? Isn't it amazing? Our own pride, we try and get in God's way when God's trying to bless us. I'm grateful that in the midst of my own pride, God still moves in my life. Hallelujah. This guy storms off in a rage. But then Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, just go wash yourself and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." He didn't say, "Now I know there is no God like the God in Israel." There is no God in all the world except the God in Israel. That is the only true God. You gotta understand, in the Old Testament and even in the old days, leprosy meant something wrong. It meant you done something wrong. The gods were punishing you for some mistake that you made. You got around with, touched somebody that had done something wrong. It was often considered an outward expression of an inward dirtiness, much like today. If you look a certain way, or if you dress a certain way, people assume certain things about you. Maybe you've had certain circumstances that have happened in your life that you've done or other people have done to you. And you carry that on your sleeve everywhere you go. The hurt, the shame, the pain, everywhere you go, it's with you. Well, here we have a man, not from Israel, not an Israelite. And he comes to Israel, not doing it the way you're meant to do it in Israel, not acting like an Israelite. See, in Israel, if you had leprosy and you're going to rock up in town where everybody else is, you're supposed to have somebody in front of you yelling out, "Leper, leper, leper, leper," warning everybody that there's a dude with leprosy coming, that there's a guy who's unclean coming, somebody giving you an opportunity to cross the street before he gets there. This guy's coming in hot. He's coming in dirty. He's asking for help. But people saw him and they crossed the street for fear of him. They didn't want to get caught up in his dirty. But this is a story of that man's salvation. This guy gets redeemed. This guy gets made whole. This guy gets justified. If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." Naaman goes to see the king of Israel. That's not who he was told to go see. He was told to go see the man of God. He was told to go step into the presence of God, the man who would call upon the power of God. But instead he goes to see the king of Israel, and Naaman arrives at the king's feet asking for something a king can't give. And the king gets frustrated that a filthy, dirty man like Naaman would come into his house. Church, don't take to man what only God can fix. Don't go to the king with something only God can deal with. People don't respond like God. The king was annoyed, angry, frustrated. Why are you bringing your addictions to me? Why are you bringing your filthiness to me? People get offended when you tell them, I've been looking at porn. I cheated on my wife. I cheated on my husband. I cheated on my taxes. People get offended. People get disgusted. But not God. Not God. God sees your deficiencies, your inadequacies, and your mistakes as an opportunity to display His glory in your life. People may be offended by our deficiencies, our sins, our sorrows, and our dirtiness. But God sees your deficiency as an opportunity to display His glory in your life, church. See, kings can't fix broken relationships. Kings can't fix a broken heart. Kings and queens can't heal leprosy on the outside, let alone on the inside. But God can, and God does, and God will. As the story's falling apart, as the man is offended, the man is heading back to his homeland, the man of God gets wind of the story unfolding and comes to the rescue. And this is what he said. Naaman, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about 7 representing, in the Bible, it represents completeness. It represents whole, perfect, pure, done. That's what 7 represents. See, we don't have to be baptized 7 times now. Christ was the perfect, complete, whole sacrifice who died with our sins and our sorrows and our debt and rose again, prophesying into our lives that we would rise again whole in Jesus' name. Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. All he had to do was go jump in a river, dunk, dunk, dunkity, dunk, 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 7 times, dunk himself in the river, and he'd be healed, physically clean. Everyone who judged him will be amazed. He'll get his reputation back, his family back, his relationships back. Hey, leprosy meant get out of our society, of our community. We don't want what's on you. They kicked you out. See, he wasn't living with his wife. She was in the story, but they weren't living together. Not if he had leprosy. He lost his relationships, his dignity, his wife and family, access to his wealth and whatever else. People don't want to touch our problems. But see, Jesus said that now we as believers drink poison and not die, touch a snake and not be bitten. Church, we're not afraid in this house to get involved in your dirty. We're not afraid to get involved in your mess. We've got a mess. We can touch it and not catch leprosy. We can be involved in it and not worry about it getting inside us. We just want to give you an opportunity like Elisha gave Naaman the opportunity to stand in the presence of God and be made whole and complete in Jesus' name. And that's what happens. He dunks himself in there and he comes out brand new. It says that he was like, he had skin like a boy. This dude was a valiant soldier. He didn't have that before he got leprosy. He had cuts and wounds and sores and battle scars all over him. But then after an encounter with God, it says that he was like a boy's skin, like brand new. So he gets everything back. He's not dirty. People aren't judging him. People are okay with hugging him now. People are okay with having him live in their house. But what's more, he has a story of the wonder and the power of God. So he goes in the water and comes out brand new. Friend, that's what God wants to do in your life this morning. He wants you to have that encounter with God. See, before I got baptized, I still felt unworthy. I still felt ashamed. I still felt like I would not be accepted through those pearly gates if I died that day. I was even still a little ashamed of Jesus. But let me tell you what happened when I got baptized. I went into the water feeling like a leper, like the son of a single dad. The boy from that family, I don't know if you ever felt like your family was that family. I felt like my family was that family. Not only was I from that family, but I was that kid in that family. Boy who talked too much. Can't believe that, can you? The boy who annoyed everyone he got near, the boy who didn't deserve people's time, let alone the Creator's time. But when I come up out of that water, what God had done in my spirit became real in my world, because I came out of that water clean. It was like it was a miraculous moment where the supernatural, where the spiritual collided with the physical, and all that God had done in me supernaturally became real in me naturally. I believed it. I felt it. I was God's son. I'm not a leper. I'm not dirty. I'm not ashamed to be named as one who follows Jesus Christ. See, before I got baptized, when people asked me if I was a churchgoer, I played it down. Well, yeah, my family goes. And if you want to live in this house, under this roof, you got to go to church. It wasn't even true. Most of the time, my dad stayed home. He was sleeping. And I'd get on my bike and I'd ride to church myself. But afterwards, are you one of those churchgoers? Yeah, I go. Jesus is the bomb diggity. Yeah, I was not cool at school. At all. I was not too cool for school. School was too cool for me. See, when I was ashamed of Jesus, I limited what God could do in my life. I did. I had a cap on my life. We can limit God. God's a gentleman. Hey, all right, fine. I won't do it. I'll wait until you're ready. Amen. When you take that cap off your life, it's like a rocket launches in your heart. A rocket just launches in your heart that takes you to the next level of all that God wants to do in your life. You've heard people say, and quote scripture and say, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And so they think that when you get saved, you have to immediately tell everybody. See, we don't make you do that at our church. If you want to give your life to Jesus, everyone's closed their eyes and nobody's looking around, and it's just between you and God, and I just want to know so I can pray for you. But baptism is that moment where we tell the world that we believe in Jesus, that He lives in me, and I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. That's that moment where you take the cap off your life, you let that rocket launch in your spirit and have the supernatural collide with the natural. Let God take your life to a whole new level. You come out singing that DC talk song saying, yeah, I'm a Jesus freak. So a man with a tattling, big fat belly, wiggled around like marmalade jelly. Took me a while to catch what it said. Had to match the rhythm of his belly with my head. Yeah, that's the worst white boy rap you've ever seen, right? Yeah, I know. I know. Lose the shame. Lose the shame. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed of being friends with the Creator of the universe. Let Him take your life to the next level. When you get baptized, you're publicly saying that you believe. You are publicly declaring, I believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus. And at the same time, God is publicly telling the world that He believes in you. So what happens when you get baptized? All right. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, Scripture doesn't say that He died for our sins. We know that he died because of our sins, but he died and he took our sins. He took them from us. And then he died in that, sorry, then he was buried with our sin, with the things that you done wrong, with your shame, with your pain, with your debt. He was buried with all of that. And then he rose again without it, like a brand new creation, prophesying into your life that you will rise again, that you will be brand new, better than you were before, amen, and that you will leave your debt, your sin, your shame, your pain, your leprosy, your adultery, your cheating, your lying, your tax fraud, all this other stuff that the world says you still are. You bury it in the water of baptism. So when we are baptized, we go down into the water. And down there we leave that sin. We leave those lies of the devil saying you're a cheater, you're a liar. We leave that down there. You're unworthy, you're dirty, you have leprosy. We leave that down there. Then we lift you straight back up. Praise God, we don't wait 3 days to lift you up. Not like Jesus. Now, if you're particularly bad, we might hold you down a little longer to make sure it sticks. I'm just kidding. We won't do that at all. I'm just kidding. Relax. No, we're just going to go straight down and straight back up again. We're going to do it like it was done in the Bible. So who should be baptized? I hear everybody asking. I could hear you. Every believer should personally have the opportunity to choose to be baptized. If you were baptized or christened as a child, there's no harm in that, but it's not what God's calling us to do with baptism. It's okay, I'm glad that you had a good experience as a child. But nowhere in Scripture did anybody get baptized who didn't choose to be baptized. Baptism is a personal choice that a believer makes to declare that Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Baptism follows salvation. It does not precede or cause salvation. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You need to be baptized to realize on earth what God has done in the spiritual. Amen. So if you were baptized as a child, cool. The only way baptism ever happened anywhere in all of the Word of God is the way Jesus was baptized. Somebody choosing to personally be baptized and declare, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And then they were baptized in a pool of water where their whole self went under the water to symbolize Jesus going into the grave with our sin. And their whole self came up out of the water to symbolize we have risen again. So after a believer chooses to follow Christ, the believer chooses to be baptized. Church, would you stand up with me now? So if you were baptized as a child, I believe you should be baptized today. If you were baptized and you walked away from Christ, you're welcome to be baptized again today and make a fresh declaration that I am a Jesus follower. If you gave your life to Jesus last night or this morning in our first service, or if you're about to in this service, you can be baptized today. You don't have to, but it would be awesome and an absolute privilege for me if you would. So far this weekend, we've baptized 12 people, seen 17 people give their lives to Jesus, and I thank God he ain't done with this weekend yet. If you don't know Jesus, give him your life today. If you thought God was a jerk with a magnifying glass and a whip, you were wrong. God is a loving, gracious Father, and He will never stop giving you another chance. He will never stop. He will never stop loving you. He will never stop caring for you. He will never stop giving you an opportunity to come back to Him. See, when we give our lives to Jesus, we're not asking you to straighten yourself out. We're not asking you to fix everything in your life, to right all your wrongs. We're definitely not asking you to do penance. Do you know what penance means? Penance is when people punish themselves for doing the wrong thing. You know what penance means? Penance means that Christ's death on the cross wasn't good enough for our sins. We don't need to be punished anymore. We don't need to be beaten for our sins. Christ was beaten and buried because of our sins and for our sins and with our sins. All I want you to do today is pray a prayer with me, saying, I want Jesus in my life. I want to be friends with my Creator. I want Him to take away my shame. I want Him to forgive me of my sin so that I don't have to live with this guilt and debt anymore. I'm not asking you to change your life. I'm not asking a stripper to stop stripping. I'm not asking a hooker to stop hooking. I'm not asking a liar to stop lying, and I'm not asking a cheater to stop cheating. I don't care what you're doing. I know that all that matters is that you know Jesus. All that matters is that you give Him your life today. If there's something in your life that's destructive for you or offensive to God, He will help you win that battle. He will speak to you when you're ready, when it's time to change. It's not my job to decide that you need to fix everything today. It's my job to give you an opportunity to decide to give your life to Jesus. And I promise you, your life will get better. Your life will change. Every day, a little bit better. Every month, a lot better. Every year, miraculously better. God wants to get in your life and bless it today. So, all you have to do is pray this prayer with me. Scripture says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you'll be saved. So let's do that today. Everybody in the room is going to pray with me, so you won't be alone. From the front to the back and the right to the left, every single person will pray this prayer. One line at a time, repeating it back to me. And if you're away from God, if you want God to come and take your debt and your shame and your pain, set you up to live a blessed life, then repeat this prayer with me. Everybody together, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again to give me life, joy, peace, hope, and eternal life. Please forgive me of the things that I've done wrong. Help me to be all that you designed me to be. I receive this brand new life in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in this place.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.